listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Welcome to episode 236 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
This week we are talking about, physical media on the high street, and specifically the plight of HMV. I feel like we've been here before, guys. About HMV and it being an administrative trouble.
There is a certain sense of deja vu.
Yes. In fact, we probably have talked about it.
It's almost as if retail doesn't learn the same lessons.
It almost does feel like it. I mean, and the thing is that because game was looking a little bit wobbly
again.
Yeah, last year. I've just found it. It was episode 22. We talked about HMV going into administration, which was of January 2013.
So it's been over 5 years.
Yeah. It was time for it to happen again. Oh, my God. HMV's been wobbly since after Christmas. New Year's, we are in trouble kind of thing with, I think, something like over 2,000 employees at risk of losing their jobs and I think over 100 stores at risk of closure unless they can obviously find a decent enough deal. I believe KMPG have been handling the administration process, but saviour of the high street, please imagine those words in double quotation marks. Mike Ashley, who is the kind of owner of Sports Direct, went and bought a load of... God, who's he bought? He's bought everything, it feels like, in the past year, 18 months or so. I swear he's trying to create some kind of monopoly, actually. Actually, can one person own so many high street brands with so much floor space? It's getting a bit crazy. He's propped up... No, he's been after Debenhams. He's got Sports Direct. Who did they prop up last year, was it? Was it House of Fraser? They went and propped up last year?
I think you could be right.
But there's been other brands that Mike Ashley has been sort of doing stuff for. And I've just opened up a recent article on it over on The Independent. And they have been talking about their plans so far for this year. And yeah, it is House of Fraser. Paul's just found something. The group has apparently made substantial progress with its acquisitions. Also, they've been buying up M&S, Mothercare, Halfords, Sir Philip Green's remaining retailers, and Smith's. They're just buying up every remaining big high street brand in the UK that's kind of sort of survived the 2008 recession. Cool. I'm not sure what this means for suppliers. I bet it kind of is a little bit like the situation with, you know, supermarkets trying to merge into big ass supermarket chains. But in a more diverse level. It's still not going to be great for some things. And I don't know, it just seems a bit wrong with one group having so much control of so many different brands, so many different areas of business.
The big worry is that I do believe that Sports Direct might be one of those companies that do use zero-hour contracts.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
And I do kind of worry whether they're going to try and force HMV staff into having those.
I mean, in the delightful land of Truro in Cornwall, HMV is in the downstairs of part of a building that was once the Marks and Spencers in Truro. And it's flanked on one side by Next, and then on the other side and above it by Sports Direct.
Woo!
So it's kind of like all they got to do is just move where the escalator of things going through, actually, you know, or maybe the Sports Direct there will just decide it wants to expand its escalator that takes it up there, and there just won't be a H&B, it'll just be all escalator.
Well, I think to a certain extent, because obviously physical media has been kind of seemingly a dying breed for a while now, especially with, you know, stuff like Netflix, Amazon Prime and blah blah. And I have seen, like, over the years they've kind of brought back vinyl records and stuff, and, you know, kind of expanded their merchandising and whatnot. So they are obviously aware that DVD sales and Blu-ray sales and whatnot, you know, they're being gobbled up by just, you know, subscription services like Netflix and whatnot. So yeah, what can really be done to, you know, keep something like HMV afloat?
I mean, it's like, but that's, I mean, in a way, that is the same question for any physical goods retailer currently selling on the high street. You've got the same question with clothing retail, because you've got online providers shaking that up.
True.
Because obviously the main thing that HMV does that a stream service, it's got physical goods. It's got physical copies of the end product.
Theoretically.
Unless, of course, you get a new Ghostbusters movie Blu-ray inside a sleeve, sealed, and it turns out it's not new Ghostbusters.
It was the latest Resident Evil film, latest at the time.
Which was also a certificate above the Ghostbusters movie, so if we'd been underage, that could have also landed them in trouble. But that's another story for another time, which I'm pretty sure we've talked about before.
As a little aside on that,
you
said it was sealed, yeah?
Yeah, so the cardboard box, well, sleeve around that was sealed, and the disc was inside the sealed.
Yeah. Now, I've worked in a branch of game years back, or electronics boutique, as it, you know, was back then, and they did have a vacuum sealing machine upstairs in the stockroom.
Hmm.
So just because it's sealed,
doesn't
because
mean it's true. Yeah.
Well, recently, do you remember me retweeting? Was it a GameStop or something in the US that were selling "quote unquote" sealed Magic the Gathering packs, and they'd clearly gone through them and got the, you know, the valuable cards out, and then, you know, like, glued the packets shut, and then shrink wrapped the boxes, which is like, that is so dodgy.
Yeah,
that is extremely dodgy.
But yeah, so, but I mean, is HMV still relevant? I mean, the people that are saying they're more expensive than online, okay, well, we looked up, because I've wanted to upgrade my Supernatural collection for a while from DVD to Blu-ray.
You have a Supernatural collection?
Yeah, I've got all the TV series, you know, other than 14, which is the current season, on disc. But it was like, oh, it would be nice to get the Blu-ray. So whilst HMV suddenly descended into its troubles, we went adventuring into the local HMV to see if we could get a bargain on some Supernatural. So we found the copy of Supernatural that they were selling on Blu-ray with seasons 1 to 13, $79.99. Now, you'd say, oh, it must be cheaper online. Actually, the price difference was marginal. It was only a couple of quid. It wasn't a massive... It wasn't a, oh, yeah, I'll get, like, a 10 quid difference. It was less than a fiver difference. At which point, when you consider the complications of delivery, because it's not something that's going to fit through the letterbox, the risk to the product being delivered in one piece, because it's a load of plastic of a slightly delicate nature, and we've had boxes and stuff for DVDs, Blu-rays, CDs and stuff fucked up in the post before.
Yeah.
And then you consider the timeliness and the fact that depending on who you got it from, you might still have to pay for delivery, because just because Amazon says they've got it, unless they're selling it direct, it could be somebody selling through them and you're still going to have to pay for delivery. So
yeah, and that's one of the many reasons I just don't bother. Amazon's not even on my radar for most things. And exactly the same as you. I've when I've wandered in there, the prices are usually decent, and I am more than happy to pay the equivalent of postage on something so I can have it in my hand and walk out with it that same day. So yeah, it's worth it to me.
I mean, in the end, the perception that Amazon is cheaper is, yes, it has been previously cheaper, but by the same token, it's kind of not very much cheaper nowadays, and people will still go to Amazon because there is still this perception that it is cheaper, even though it isn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think people seem to forget that it's been a while now since Amazon's had to operate under the same VAT rules as every other retailer in this country. Like, yes, there was an age when, because they weren't having to add, well, at the time, I think it would have been 17.5% VAT onto the products. Yes, of course they were cheaper because they were getting away with that. But the law changed and they're now having to sell stuff with VAT. So you're getting that 20% sales tax for the Americans and everyone else actually listening to this. Mm-hmm. You get 20% sales tax added onto the price. So
I mean, when it comes to like new releases and whatnot of like video games, I don't go to Amazon anymore because I can't guarantee that even if I pre-order
and pay for delivery
it may not necessarily come the day of launch. I usually just go to my local physical
preferred retailer.
So yeah, there's been a few times lately that people I've known have, ordered the latest big thing.
Mm.
And I'll see that, some people get it a day or two early. And there are other people who are swearing up their letterbox.
Yeah.
And, to the degree, I think the latest one was Red Dead 2.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I know at least one person who went out and bought a copy in a shop because the copy that they'd bought on Amazon hadn't arrived. And so I am not waiting. I know I can sell this for the RRP on day one. So, I'm not waiting. They've let me down. So that's it.
But yeah, so to this whole, it's cheaper online. It might be cheaper online a ways after something's been released. It might be cheaper online if you've got somebody who's come by stuff by various means and doesn't think they should be charging any sales tax on the product. Mm. But cheaper online at launch, or cheaper online for something that's quite a bulky product, like a complete box set, I question if that's actually, going to be a thing that happens.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's kind of a perception that actually comes into a lot of different kind of stores and whatnot. You'd have like the reputations of some supermarkets where they're all like, oh no, you must be posh to shop there because they're really expensive for just the basic stuff. And it's like, in actual fact, it's not that much more expensive.
And you might actually get better quality anyway. Yeah.
So I mean, if you're buying brands, maybe. If you just kind of want to go for a basic shop, sometimes it is actually just as cheap in the next supermarket.
Yeah.
Mm.
But then the thing is, it's weird that people think that streaming is a suitable substitute to buying stuff in the long term, because I think we came up in the Spot Joy episode where we were talking about books and DRM and stuff. Yep. Like.
Mm.
Even if you, so forget stream from it, even if you buy, in theory, so I've got five series of Longmire through Google Play. I don't own those. They could disappear any day without any warning. I've just got the right to play them back as many times as I want on my device with my account. But I don't own it. In fact, going back to Supernatural on disc, Supernatural isn't available for free on a streaming service in the UK.
Yeah. Which is mind-boggling, considering it's, you know, a series that has been popular enough to actually have, like, what, 14 seasons now?
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, maybe it's distribution rights or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just not come up.
And obviously the likes of E4 wonder why Supernatural's not popular when they do show it. And it's like, well, you've never re-shown any of the earlier seasons, so nobody knows. Unless you're a diehard fan, you don't know what the fuck's going on. Mm. Nobody knows.
I mean, that it's kind of annoyed me a little bit with that. Recently, Adult Swim has got this kind of contract with or Channel 4 to basically, like, have them as kind of an aside for their, you know, kind of all four service.
Mm.
So that means that Rick and Morty season 4, when it finally does arrive, it will come onto E4. That means that Netflix will no longer have any Adult Swim stuff because of this deal. And we can't guarantee that E4 will actually show Rick and Morty or any new stuff from Adult Swim that close behind the Americans.
Yeah, because they don't tend to do that. It seems they like to wait for most stuff. Yeah,
and quite frankly, the type of people that watch Rick and Morty will be happily doing it via Dave Internet if E4 isn't up to, you know, par up with that.
But meanwhile, let's bring this back to the sale of physical media high streets in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, goddammit, Paul, with your tangents. Keep on topic.
But basically what we're saying is that while people may have gone off the sale of physical media, we're entering a stage now that's actually a bit dubious for streaming and rights access to digital content. If we consider that the amount of times you'll hear about something that's been on freaking Netflix for like forever and they're about to lose the rights and there's like a whole campaign to like keep it. I mean, especially see American friends do that a lot. I mean, obviously they've got more stuff to begin with, but the amount of things that like they've been on there for ages and it's finally been taken out. I mean, Friends, Netflix, I think, renewed their rights to Friends for over $100 million or $100 million quid. Either way, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You could have made a TV show for that.
Obviously, I think, Disney and Star Wars kind of stuff along with Marvel is going to be coming off Netflix because it's going onto their own private.
But the advantage of the physical stores was that you didn't have this, what's the word I'm looking for? This, not distribution, it's everything's going everywhere.
Fragmentation,
there we go. Fragmentation of media availability. Because it's a physical thing. You just go buy the physical thing. There's no fragmenting going on unless you've cracked the discs. There's your thing. Watch it as many times as you want, as long as you look after it. You've got
more problems if you have.
I mean, quite frankly, we're subscribed to Netflix and Amazon Prime and now TV. I really don't want to be fucking subscribing to a whole host of other services as well.
Yeah, just for the privilege of being able to stream but not own. I feel like at some point, not just the British public, a lot of global media consumers are going to wake up to the fact that actually they can't get hold of stuff anymore, but the places where you could have got hold of stuff without having to worry about it disappearing, well, they're not going to be around anymore anyway to sell it to you.
Yeah.
So it will be a lot of Dave Internet.
The only place that you'll be able to get it is place like Amazon.
But then there'll be a certain point where the physical media won't even get produced because everyone will be like, digital. True. I mean...
I'm going to make a daft prediction here. Okay. And I'm going to give, if not credit to, but, you know, at least a little bit of reference. I think what we might see is a mixture. We're basically going to see amiibos for box sets.
Oh, God.
Amiibos for box sets.
Yeah. I think if you think about it, one of the most popular things that you see in every shop, especially HMV, where they're trying to, you know, be a little bit more
trendy.
You know, yeah, trendy. They'll have you know, pop cup stuff.
Mm.
Not pop cup.
Funkos.
Funkos, Funko Pops. Thank you.
Armies
for some reason,
them.
My brain just brain farted there. And I've heard of plenty of people who will buy, you know, vinyl albums, but they'll never play the actual vinyl. They're buying it because it's a nice collectible thing. They can have it, you know, it looks good on shelves, it looks good hung up on a wall. It's a thing. People like collecting things.
This sounds the absolute counter-antithesis to what we were talking about in the previous episode.
It does.
Yeah, yeah, but you can see where I'm coming from with it, can't so I reckon what might happen is, you know, especially with these, you know, ultraviolet digital copies that you can get, it might end up so that you don't buy a disc at all, but you might buy like a little figure.
Wouldn't that kind of be the worst of both worlds?
Sorry, that cut off there.
Is it the worst of both worlds?
Yeah, because you'd have basically, the physical.
It would, so far as I'm concerned,
the physical kind of presence of something cluttering up your living room or whatnot, but that can be kind of taken away because you're basically using it to access a streaming service.
Let me ask you something here, right?
Okay.
All the amiibos that you've bought,
yes.
And you've used them with games to get, you know, little unlocks and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have bought the unlocks for the same monetary value?
No, I like the fact that they're, you know, on the shelf there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for all my criticism of Nintendo, and I know it may shock you that I have criticized Nintendo in the past. I know. Amiibos are really nicely produced. I like them. I know. I don't actually have any, because for a start, I don't own any machines that can see them. I have a 3DS, but it's not the new 3DS. So that the original 3DS doesn't have the.
No, it doesn't. You have to buy the NFC
adapter thing.
Yes.
Yeah, and bollocks to that. But. I think we're going to see something a little bit like that. So, you know, we've already seen a few companies, you know, sort of dip the toe. You know, there's all the Skylander stuff and, you know, Disney Infinity, which, you know, Disney decided it wasn't doing as well as, you know, they wanted.
Yeah.
But if it comes to, you know, we don't want physical media, or rather, you know, people can't be asked with physical media, but people are still buying collectible tat and things like that. And yeah, I own collector sets for games which I've, you know, I either already owned or I didn't want the game, but I wanted, you know, whatever it came with. And to me, it just makes perfect sense that there's either going to be a QR code or, you know, something like that, so that, you know, if you buy a thing, and then scan the QR code, it will attach it to your account, and it will either be, you know, on you know, a specific service, or it will be on Google Play, or it will be on iTunes, or something like that.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm regretting coming up with it.
But I mean, I think that would probably be abused by unscrupulous companies.
It could also be abused by unscrupulous governments. The reliance on streaming services and having stuff as something you don't own it to be able to view it or read it means that if you get governments coming through going, oh, no, this thing's banned, this is banned, this is banned, oh, we're going to cut this to shreds because we don't agree with this type of content anymore. Suddenly you could find it doesn't matter that the stuff is available or was, it doesn't, it's gone.
Yeah,
true.
So it doesn't even have to be rights holders or a business going to administration. If a government decides it doesn't want you accessing certain types of content and you can only access it digitally unless somebody's obviously done a very good job at pirating it,
Which people do. There are business models of, you know, unscrupulous means that rely on, you know, piracy model.
I suppose.
And of course, you know, the thing with something like, you know, these collectibles is that I don't think they would work like the Amiibos, where, you know, you just buy, you know, you can buy or rebuy an Amiibo and then scan it and you get the thing. If these are for the, you know, like a box set or a movie or something like that,
you'd have to physically kind of stick it on in order to play it.
Well, either that.
So they're more like keys than.
Yeah, if it was like, you know, near field reader, that you could work like that way, or if it was like a code, like a QR code, I could see that being single use. So again, that, you know, that would suit the companies down to the ground, because then you wouldn't be able to sell on your box set.
Yeah.
Which they don't like doing, do they?
No.
They don't like, you know, the end user doing. But yeah. So yeah, I'm ruining everything.
Stop buying digital content, people. Buy the physical copy.
Unless it's on Steam, in which case I'll buy it, because I am that guy. Don't buy digital content. Ooh, a humble pack.
But I mean, at least with kind of stuff via PC, you can use, well, unless it's streaming specifically, then you can usually download it to your computer. Admittedly, stuff can still be kind of like, oh, we have to check on the internet to see whether you've still got the rights to this. But I suppose like it might be kind of DRM free type, as I don't know, maybe in the future we'll have like services whereby you can actually download stuff and it'll be like a little bit of an extra cost to have it DRM free.
Like, I can't imagine the media companies of the world wanting to allow that to happen. They've gotten really, I mean, it's actually the case for a lot of organizations. Everyone's gotten really hooked up on the having control over your rights access to things at the moment, or moving things to a subscription model. I mean, hell, I've got a book kicking about somewhere in here that I've kept after the purge, that is about building your business on a subscription-based model. So not only could be in a situation where it's like people are paying for that initial right to access the thing, but you might then have to perhaps pay a subscription in order to continue to have your access, right? But you don't have to keep, you know, like, to have, like, your online library kept for you, because they won't let you have it on your hard drive or something stupid like that. Like, everyone's devices become dummy devices.
I mean, that's why that links in with some of the rumours about the, Next Box, because I prefer that name, because fuck knows what they're going to call it after the third console is called the Xbox One.
Xbox T!
Xbox Pi. They're talking about, again, what, you know, how genuine this is, I don't know, because there are various rumours that, you know, that were about the X-Bone that did not come to pass. Like, there being a plug-in for it which would enable 360, you know, backwards compatibility, things like that. You know, just a box that would plug in the back or whatever. But there's one rumour where they're going to go for, you know, like a three-tier, where, to use the current generation of X-Bone as, you know, a template, you're going to have the sort of mid-range, which will be the X-Bone, and then you'll have the, you know, the high tier, which is the Xbox, or, you know, One X. So, you know, that would be, you know, like top tier. And then a Tesco, which will be like a streaming only.
I can definitely imagine them trying to stratify, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And, stuff like that, you know, in order to try and kind of, well, get more money out of the same content just by selling it to different people that, you know, wanted it in a different way.
Well, Microsoft already have a subscription service where, you know, above and beyond Xbox Live, where there's the Xbox Game Pass, which, you know, enables you to have, you know, like, you know, the latest Microsoft published games and things like that, that those are automatically included. But it's, you know, like X pounds per month. I don't know, because I don't have an X-Bone. But to me, the whole idea of just a streaming game only box is just awful.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone on record before.
I just love, like, the Steam box or something, if you're going to do that.
Well, you know, the Steam Link, I've got two. And that's, I'm using one right now to use it, do this from a different room. And I've got one down in my shed as well, so I can, you know, use my machine, you know, while I'm down there. But, of course, the point of that is it's over Ethernet. It's local. There's a matter of meters between, this streaming box and my my PC, which is encoding everything on its card. So it's not bouncing off a local, call center and then back again.
Yeah.
So there's no lag. It's pretty instantaneous. I've been impressed with it, and I've tried several game streaming services, and to me they've all come up short because of lag. There's a noticeable disconnect, even when they try to hide it. Some things that rely on timing just will not work, and so to me it's two factors of I do not want, which is if you're playing a game and it's not local, it will lag and it will cause you issues on timing. And two, if you're playing it on your own machine anyway, the game may have been coded with lag in mind.
Yeah.
Because if that company is also flogging a, cheapy Tesco value, box, so people can, just have a subscription service or, buy a few, rent a few games or something for a month or a week, then, yeah, I don't want that factor in there. So, I am a massive hypocrite when it comes to game collections, because I've got my Steam collection, and I can't remember the last time.
Sorry, the last time what? You cut out?
Oh, sorry. The last time I bought a physical PC game.
They're very hard to find.
Yeah.
They are hard to find, and there's a number of them which, if you walk into your game store or whatever, and you buy a PC game, you take it to the counter and, take it home, you'll probably open it up and there will just be a code.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For Steam or for Uplay or for Origin.
So, yeah.
It's difficult to find. My wife bought Dragon Age Inquisition physical PC, and that came on several DVDs, and when she installed it, it didn't work.
Oh.
So she just redeemed the code on her Origin account and then downloaded the whole thing again. So that was a massive success for all concerned. Wasn't it? It didn't even resume from disc 3 or whatever. It was like, no. We're just going to re-download the whole thing again.
I mean, I think with when it comes to films and
music, TV series
and whatnot, because everything's pretty much digital now, I don't think we're going to get this kind of what we have with a resurgence of vinyl.
Mm.
Where people kind of swear blind that they can hear the quality, the difference in quality between a vinyl and a MP3 or whatnot. I don't think we're going to get that with film and TV. I mean, not least because, the way that, kind of TV series and kind of films, they are recorded digitally as well. So you won't even have that, analog origin to it a lot of the time.
Yeah. I mean, the only real thing I can see, for physical media are niche markets.
Mm.
Like, for example, the raging success of 3D TV. I still know someone. I do know two people with 3D TVs, and they both had Sky because it had a 3D content.
Yeah.
But that I think the 3D channels have now gone, and it's there are some films and things like that on the movie channels, which are in 3D. And that's it. So that's been a massive success. But of course, 3D is still in the cinemas, so you can now... is in 3D.
Mm.
And that's the only way you're going to get anything which is going to be playing in 4K on your 3D TV is to buy whatever it is. Well, you know, whatever movie. But that's getting increasingly niche now. I can't remember the last time I saw a 3D TV for sale in a shop.
No, it's been a good couple of years now, actually. I mean, 4K TVs, yeah, they're fairly standard now.
Yeah, and that's more or less just because, you know, if they can, you know, chuck the money out making, you know, 4K panels, they can make them cheaper.
Yeah.
We've got a 4K TV. It's not 3D, but yeah, it's a 4K TV, and it was, you know, under 300 quid from Aldi.
Mm. But I mean, even now, 4K Blu-ray players aren't exactly that prevalent, as far as I'm aware. And you will only get like some high-end Hollywood films that are even, you know, kind of produced in 4K.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that the Xbox One S and the Xbox One S, both of them support 4K Blu-ray, but that's pretty much just because I've got a 4K drive and, you know, chipset. Obviously, the Xbox One S doesn't do, you know, 4K in any other way, but it supports playback.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's...
So, do we think Mike Ashley buying HMV is going to somehow save anything?
I personally don't think... basically, HMV needs something other than DVDs and, you know, music and whatnot in order to save it. And I don't think that... As far as I'm aware, Mike Ashley isn't... imaginative enough to actually come up with anything.
I mean,
you know, that could save that.
I've come up with a terrible name. Do you want to hear it?
Go on.
Movibos.
Movibo.
Yeah, I told you it was awful.
But yeah,
well, it's pretty much it's going to be collectible stuff and merchandise and. Mm. Probably people shitting themselves on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
So have you got a thing? I want to buy a thing.
All right, I want people to talk about what they've been up to, but Retrod, I know you've done all the things, but try not to talk too long about doing all the things.
Well, I'll start off with electronicsy. Anyone who's followed me on Twitter for the last few weeks will know I've been trying to bring an Atari 65XE back to life. For anyone who doesn't know, it's Atari's 8-bit home computer that they made after the Atari 2600. It was released in the late 70s, came out in 1979. Very colourful. Very much like a Commodore 64, but was massively more expensive, and it went through about 3 revisions before they managed to get it, you know, cheap enough to just, you know, flog. Well, you know, won't go into that, but basically, it's a nice machine. It's got lots of colours. I have a few of them now. I have the second version of the machine, an Atari 800XL, and you know, that works fine. I've got a disk drive for it. I've got a tape deck. And I've got some XEs, which are the last revisions where they slightly shrunk them down. They, you know, got them cost reduced, etc. But yeah, I'm pretty much adding sockets on these so I can just swap the chips between the different machines and test them. Does it work in this? Yes. If so, the chip works. That's not the problem. And just before recording this podcast, I was socketing another set of chips, which is, in this case, it was the CPUs in my 2 Atari XE machines. And that's so I could swap them over. and last minute, just before I came in the rain to record this, I finished that over, swapped the CPUs, and the CPU works, which was one of my last ideas for what could be causing the issue I've got. Hooray. So, I did a live broadcast of socketing a few chips a week or so ago, which a few people popped in. You did, Emily.
Yes, I did. It was much fun.
I thought, well, if I'm going to be doing it anyway, I might as well test my recording equipment because I'm still wanting to YouTube. So, yeah, I'm still working on that machine and it's still not working. But I'm steadily reducing the number of things that I think it could be. So that's a success.
Does it? Was there a long list of potential for?
Yes, I was looking up because unfortunately it's a black screen. It comes up. There's a video signal there. And then I socketed a few chips because a lot of people were, oh, it could be the graphics chips. This is an example of how odd the machine was. You know, again, 1970, it was released. It has two graphics chips.
Huh.
One is to do the, the backgrounds. So, everything that's, scrolling. Unlike, the much cheaper machines like the ZX Spectrum, it did have hardware scrolling. So, it had a lot of these sort of arcadey hardware that, Atari, wanted to throw off the screen. But yeah, there's one graphics chip that does the backgrounds, and there's one graphics chip that does things like sprites and color.
Okay.
And it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of amazing to me that it has two graphics chips to do these two things, whereas, I grew up with my Commodore 64, which has those things as well, but it just has the one graphics chip. So it's all a bit, well, I can see the evolution. It's right there in front of me, but it's still a bit weird.
That's fair.
Yeah. So I do have working 8-bit Atari computers, but yeah, this is not one of them. But at least it does mean that I can compare instead of just, working in the dark. But a lot of the things I've looked up, it's just, yeah, it could be this. And then I swap it and get, no, it's not that because my absolutely fine with that chip. It's not that chip. That's a problem. But yeah, I'm still working on that. I'm recording bits and pieces and I will hopefully be able to make a video out of it. We finished watching She-Ra on Netflix and I was deeply offended by a reboot where I can't fancy the cartoon girl teenager.
Oh dear.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, people were whinging about that because of course they replaced the original design of She-Ra, which was about 20-odd years old by the time they used it in She-Ra. And, she's supposed to be about 16 now, and she looks like she's probably about 16, in a cartoon style. So, she's not flashing a lot of flesh, and she's not titsy. And that's fine, because she's supposed to be 16. And... I really liked the series. It was done with affection. It was very watchable, and it was also nicely episodic in that they weren't standalone episodes. You could watch them standalone, but there was a story and character arc, and things developed as it went along, and it all made sense. It's nice. I liked it. I'm probably not the target demographic. But, of course, I remember watching She-Ra when I was at school. And, my wife watched it. So it was, well, why don't we give this a go? Because we quite like the, the creative team behind it. So, gave it a go. And, yeah, it's rather good. And, speaking of, watching a series... we rewatched the entirety of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
How's it aged?
In some ways, it's it's aged very well. In other ways, it's a little bit cringe at times with, they'll, use language which, raises a little bit of an eyebrow. And it's just... I think there's more than one use of the word of retarded.
Oh dear.
And it's just, I know it's supposed to be set in a high school, but yeah. I still love the characters. Xander is a much bigger dick than I remember him being.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the every guy, and you can kind of see how Joss Whedon is a little bit of a dick.
Do you know what? Maybe it's Xander's fault that we've got so many entitled guys that are aged kind of like 20 to 40 at the moment.
To be honest, I don't think he can stick that on one character.
We can't stick that on Xander. Are you sure? Because he is terrible.
I think there are many, 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 many other male
protagonists and characters
probably echo Xander. So I seriously don't think he can stick.
I can't. Yeah.
And because think about those shirts he wore. Like, those were some really damning shirts, and I think that may have contributed to some really poor fashion choices in later life for some guys.
Anyway. So he comes across as a much bigger dick than I remember.
Is that throughout the series, or is that just like during the high school years? Because I understand that, kind of characters are meant to progress and whatnot. So yeah. I can kind of understand characters being douchey to begin with.
He's definitely douchier to start off with, and he does have his moments later on. There are plot developments, especially in the Angel-Buffy, dynamic, that are dependent on him being a jealous, entitled little shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are bits there that it's like, you are a dick. But I did like, of course, watching it all, compressed, brings these things out into sharper focus. I did like that he didn't continue to, college.
That he was,
and such.
That he couldn't make that life progress.
Yes. And, not necessarily because he's, he's a stupid character, but just that it didn't suit him. So he ended up being, like a construction worker. The Willow Tara storyline worked better, but what we noticed was it was weird how little nod Tara got, especially in the the title sequence, because she was a regular for about 3 years.
Yeah,
and for the longest time she was not. She had like a glancing shot as someone else's little character intro bit at the start of an episode. The Jonathan arc worked quite well. Anyone remember Jonathan?
Yeah.
Where he's just the one who keeps popping up. He's like the named nerd. Sort of background character who just gets picked on or, wrapped up in, whatever it is, or just happens to be there. And then, of course, he becomes a bit of a bigger character later on. Part of the last few seasons. And yeah, one thing we thought, there was all this fuss about, the female reboot of, Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Having the white guy, the white nerd guy as the antagonist. Whereas in one season of Buffy, it was three entitled white nerd guys. Who were the bad guys? They were the big bad.
Yep.
And I don't remember hearing any whinging about that. So people must have conveniently forgotten, or because it was, you know, at the time when they couldn't get YouTube videos, you know, pushing some asshole at them, you know, complaining that it was them specifically who was being picked on. It just, you know, they just took it as read. You know, oh, you know, they're assholes.
That's true. I mean, definitely there is an aspect of, like, the time. Also to do with the fact that Buffy has always been quite a feminist kind of geek show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you probably wouldn't get those type of misogynists actually watching the show in the first place.
Yeah. Let's see. The Spike arc was slightly different to how I remembered it. I think it still works better.
Well, Spike overall, between Buffy and Angel, ends up a far more likable character.
Mm.
Out of, like, all the original cast, in fact, Spike's probably the one that's the one you want to love the most.
Yeah, he's got the redemption. He kind of comes back to what he was in the, you know, the very beginning before he was a vampire.
Mm.
And you can see how he's been surrounded by people and you know, had a shit time, which, you know, pushed him in certain directions. And then, you know, there was the whole quest thing, if you want to call it that, which starts off with his attempted sexual assault of Buffy.
Mm.
Mm.
Which, of course, is because he, you know, he's obsessed with her, but he doesn't have a soul.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, that leads him to go and get one. And what I liked about it was that he was not forgiven. He, you know, there was an understanding of he's done this, he's different now.
Hmm.
But of course, people don't, you know, it doesn't matter if they, you know, they have a soul or not. You know, people, you know, they can be, you know, one thing or another and just informed by that aspect of them. So, yeah, I really like the Spike arc. I like the Willow and Tara arc. I am still annoyed what happened to Tara.
Yeah,
I mean, she was essentially fridged, so
yes, she was. That was probably one of the first it was one of the, you know, the first gay relationships shown on mainstream TV, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
and then yeah, it's just, oh,
the, yeah, I mean, I kind of really like the fact that, you know, at the end of the sixth season, Willow was pretty much like the main bad guy. That was an interesting kind of thing to do.
I did like
that. The cause of it, yeah, I can understand being problematic.
It's just, it needed a character to die, and of course it was the gay character.
Hmm.
It's, you know, just because you flip the gender, so it's a girlfriend rather than, you know, a girlfriend of the girlfriend rather than a girlfriend of the boyfriend who sends the, you know, the male character on a big revenge arc.
Yeah.
And say, yeah, but why did the character have to die in the first place? It's just, that's what I didn't like about it. So I can see what they were doing, but it was still like,
I'm going to move us on because...
Yeah.
So, I'm going to move us on to Paul.
Anyway, everyone should go watch Buffy again. It is good.
Paul, what you been up to?
Bits and dabs, to be honest. Bits and dabs. So, been watching a lot of YouTube videos.
We tried out Cards Against Muggles last week.
Yep.
Two different games.
Yep.
Different people.
Yep.
There's some really sexual cards.
Surprisingly sexual.
Like, more so than regular Cards Against Humanity.
It's a game that, obviously, the bigger a nerd you are with Harry Potter, I think the more enjoyment you're going to get out of it. Because there's characters that I didn't recognise when playing it and was like, okay, I don't know whether this is funny or not, really. You know, to... to have them in this situation or that situation. It has been fun, even if you're not that familiar with Harry Potter. General YouTube videos and writing and stuff. So, how about you, Emily? Are you screaming at our listeners?
Have you been doing all the things?
I produce a crochet. I haven't picked up Michelle Obama's biography since crying at it, as described in the previous episode. I keep hugging it around, but it's getting the serenity of mind together to be able to plow on and cope with things. I have, because I got partway through last year, partway reading The Autumn Republic by Brian McKellen, which is part of this fantasy series of like Gunpowder and stuff. It's like a weird version of like almost like Napoleon France, but there's magic and gunpowder. I'm nearing the end of that, but it takes a bit for me to get through, because it's like so many certain fantasy novels these days where there's like a million different characters and there's a lot of point of view changing going on. Like, not necessarily mid-paragraph or something, but it'll be like you'll have chapter breaks going on and it's like, and it's a different character now. And I'm about to a different character, and it's trying to keep everything together, and it can get a bit tedious to read at times, even though the story's good. I've been reading that again a bit. But we started a rewatch of House this evening, just because, well, we wanted to actually check out Good Omens because we thought it might be on Amazon Prime. At this point, it might be.
Is that out?
I don't know. The way people were talking, because there was like reviews up in the Bloody Guardian last week that I think Neil Gaiman was chuckling over or something. So I'm just going to double check. But it doesn't matter. We couldn't tell you anyway. Because...
we couldn't get our fire stick to work.
Yeah, we couldn't get our fire stick to frickin'...
So we haven't connected it to the internet for so long now.
It's decided to do some small rebellion. I think we might have to factory reset on it. It's been that much of a dick.
I mean, the stupid thing is, though, is that it's connecting to the Wi-Fi. It just isn't, you know...
Oh, yeah, it's not got an official release date yet. But as it's
not on there yet.
It's not on yet, but then at the same time, it doesn't matter...
Yeah,
because we can get the fire stick to cooperate anyway.
I'm just sitting here a bit amused that it's called a fire stick. So it sounds like it needs incantations or a sacrifice.
It might need a sacrifice. But personally, I mean, I'd probably do it sort of half-assed, you know, like somebody from Good Omens would anyway. Because what's the point in doing a full blood sacrifice when you can just, you know, nip someone a little bit, put a bit of blood on it, say some words, get on with it. At least that might be what it needs eventually in order to actually be resurrected. I'm not sure at this stage. But anyway, we started rewatching House. So we watched the pilot and the episode that followed. Watching the pilot made me so glad that they went back to normal coloration in every other episode afterwards, because the pilot's got this weird... What did they do for the saturation?
Colour grading.
Colour grading. It's all orangey-yellow. It's just weird. It's like some weird Simpsons Trump world.
It's not like orange and teal, is it?
No, it's more like orange, a lot of orange and a lot of grey. But it is like Trump world. Like if, unfortunately, Trump's skin colour became like a... like the tone for an entire world, it's kind of like that. Obviously, when the series was originally made, that wasn't a consideration.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I blame?
Go on.
Lupus.
You blame Lupus?
Yeah, but I think it's definitely Lupus.
Did Lupus even get mentioned in the pilot?
No, not in the pilot.
Yeah, so the whole Lupus thing, that and it didn't get mentioned in the first proper episode either. But,
I think I've only ever seen one episode of House.
It out of the Sherlockian series out there, because it is pretty much Sherlock but with medicine.
Yeah, basically a guy who's really, really intelligent but kind of
a dick.
Yeah, a dick. Partnered with people who are far more caring, but who are also intelligent but just not as intelligent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much like medical Sherlock.
It does a better job of Sherlockying than Sherlock. It kind of reminds me, I mean, Elementary came afterwards, so I'd say House and the Sherlock from Elementary have got more in common than House and Sherlock in terms of the
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my thoughts on that. And we're going to continue watching it because there's actually, we can't find any box sets at the moment, or obviously on Netflix or Now TV, that we kind of want to dip into that we haven't seen before.
We had the pilot for
we tried watching the pilot for Titans.
Yeah, and we kind of got halfway through that and it's like, this is feeling just no.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
And we tried getting through the pilot for the new version of Charmed, because that's on E4 at the moment, and we tried watching it on all four, and we were trying to tuck into some Chinese on Friday night with our friend, and we were like, oh, let's try Charmed. That was a mistake. Again, maybe halfway, not even halfway through, I think we maybe made it to 15 minutes and then just kind of gave up. It was like, I mean, I said to Paul, and he didn't believe me, I said, I think I'd rather watch the original series at this point. And Paul was like, really? And I was like, at least it had like a homely cheesiness to this. This just seemed like I can't care about anyone at
like,
the moment.
Like a Riverdale type cheesiness.
It like, but without the aesthetic.
Hmm.
So I mean, certainly it certainly held nothing up to Sabrina, the new Sabrina.
I really enjoyed new Sabrina.
The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina are way superior to the new series of Charmed. Supernatural is way superior to the new series of Charmed. And I believe Charmed's actually, I think it's Bloody CW's made that. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that they passed. So they passed over doing a Wayward Sisters series for Charmed. And it's like, wow, you guys could have had, CW. You could have had you could have had Wayward Sisters as a spin-off of Supernatural rather than Charm, but no.
So even though that I thought that episode was weak, as we, you know, discussed at the time, I still really like the concept.
Yeah.
So, you know, just it's not too late. Go and make the series anyway.
Yeah. Mind you, is it Catherine Newton who plays Claire?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She has been moving on to bigger things. So, like, there's the time to potentially have done it may be passing by now, because it depends how much she's involved with regular films now.
No, I don't want someone to have success at the expense of a series I want to watch. God damn it, come back here and make the series.
Oh, and then obviously one final thing, Supernatural's back. Dave Internet and I have been watching it. It was an interesting episode 10 to season 14.
Is that a good interesting? Or
it was a genuinely interesting mid-hiatus return. Or mid-season hiatus return, rather. Kept you on your toes a bit. Some brilliant acting from Jensen Ackles. He plays Dean normally. You couldn't see everything coming, and you were kind of wondering, oh, was it going to continue in much the same vein for a few more episodes? But it wasn't. They did an interesting change. But we were left on a bit of a cliffhanger, of course. So, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, because we've got 20 episodes this season.
Yeah.
Shorter season. So we are now halfway through the season. And I'm still not sure where things are going to go.
Oh, another thing that we did watch. Well, Another thing that we did watch was Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh yeah, we did rewatch it.
I'm glad you say that was a rewatch, because otherwise I was just going to.
Still can't get over. Is it Lando? Not what? Lando. Duh, that's Star Wars. What's his face? Blue. His adoptive dad, pretty much.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I can't remember, but I know precisely who you mean.
It's gone out of my head now. What I'm thinking about is Lando.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
He's now known as Lando. Lando.
Mark Landau.
Oh. I'm sorry, but
you carry on with your point.
No, what was my point?
I don't know.
Because
that was your point.
I wanted to say his name properly, and I failed. I was going to say his death's. I'm spoiling it, but
Yondu.
His death.
I couldn't understand why you'd get confused with Lando.
I am Groot.
Wait.
He's being rude
now. I'm getting confused because Lando is from Babylon 5. So what's it's not Landau because that's Martin Landau from Space 1999. What's
Jesus.
It's fine. Too much sci-fi in my head. I mean,
lies. There is
Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still right. Can't get over his death. So, yeah, it's a good film, but I'm not sure if I still enjoy it as much as the first.
I think, because obviously there's the whole issue with James Gunn and whatnot, and
the third film's going to be very different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very about.
That's going to be an interesting one. When they do eventually do it.
Because
at the moment, I think Marvel have got enough on their plate.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, I think that's everything. I think we're going to have to leave it at that. Okay, guys? Okay?
Yep.
All right. So, that's it for this episode. So, it's good night from...
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul Blewett. I'm on Twitter as @PaulBlewett.
And it's good night from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EMKingMA. You can find notes for this episode over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. We're on Twitter and Instagram at @NerdsPodcast. We're on Facebook as the Nerds Assemble Podcast. You can listen to episodes via iTunes, Stitcher and Spotify if you so wish. And also we have an RSS available if you've been listening to us directly through the site and you wanna, you know, listen on your favourite player instead. That is all. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
So Yondu, Landau, Londo.
Lardo, who is nothing to do with science fiction. Check please character.
Okay.
Can you understand? Wait, I always get all of that confused in my head. Yeah.
Well, there's Londo, as in, you know, Babylon 5.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Lando, and of course, Londo is just one away from Yondo. Yes. So.
Yeah. There's no hope. No hope.
Yeah.
No hope.
It makes sense. There's another sense there.
Good night.
Techno song.
Good night.
Londo.
No. Yondo. No. Good night.
Yondo. Yondo.